So, Brian, any more insights, cookies you
well,
got there?
Here's a little. Here's one. We'll go back to a little note from an interesting note from Nova Express that I didn't get around to saying.
Yeah.
Specifically. Right near the beginning, on the same page where McLuhan has written the word Kane over the phrase the Nova Conspiracy, so like Nova Kane and this idea of Kane killing being kind of the enemy. There's a part, little bit of a rant of Burroughs's that McLuhan has underlined lots of parts of and written little notes beside. The rant go, and most of this is underlined.
Can you speak a little louder, Brian?
So it's near the beginning, and Burroughs writes, this is where he's kind of giving his statement of what I'm, is kind of his mission statement. And in there, he says, to speak is to lie, to live is to collaborate. There are degrees of lying, collaboration, and cowardice. That is to say, degrees of intoxication. And now McLuhan has underlined the first part, to speak is to lie, to live is to collaborate. He's underlined the word collaboration and written closure beside that, and then underlined intoxication and written involvement beside that.
Right.
And a little further on, there's the line, you can cut the enemy off your line by judicious use of apomorphine and silence. McLuhan's underlined, you can cut the enemy off, and beside it he wrote EOM for extensions of man and end of closure. And on the note for that page, on his, like, index page, McLuhan wrote, closure as collaboration as involvement. Enemy is EOM.
Is EOM, yes. Now, that's where you go to Project 69, which is his report in 1960 that he did for the National Education Broadcasters. He has charts based on SI, sensory impact, and then SC, sensory closure or structural closure. The conditioning of a medium, the way it makes you go a certain way in your central organization, that's called SC, sensory closure. And we were talking earlier about the tribalism, the bureaucratization of tribe, against the mishmash, discarnate mismatch, that's sensory closure, that's group behavior, that's collaboration. Tribalism is collective SC, closure.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, Burroughs is using the word collaboration in a, you know, you dirty collaborator, collaborating with the occupying enemy, but McLuhan seems to be taking careful note of where Burroughs is saying there are degrees of collaboration, that is, degrees of intoxication.
Yes.
And seeming to be like, Burroughs is noting that this is something that happens on the raw perceptual level of collaborating basically with the media environment itself, rather than being more of a formal gesture of collaborating with the, you don't have to very, you know, yeah, there are degrees of collaboration.
Yeah, that's what McLuhan's adding?
Well, he underlines that phrase, degrees of collaboration, and is writing beside it closure and involvement. He seems to be taking Burroughs to be meaning that phrase collaboration as meaning beyond just the selling out to the occupiers or whatever, but being a more profound, like, fine scale, moment-to-moment collaboration.
No. But McLuhan is objecting to Burroughs missing the media cause.
Ah, okay.
The enemy is always the new medium, which then gets tribal reactions fighting each other, beginning with the Jews being victimized in Germany, and then it's the hippies against the hard hats in the 60s. This tribalism, they're actually against. The whole SDS radical students were nostalgia for tribal organization.
Patty Hearst.
Yeah, exactly. Patty Hearst world. And the
how would you describe a large? You describe medium to the end. What's a large, Bob?
That's the environment, the medium, the technological scale.
I know you did a medium. What's a large? Oh, no, no, the large can't be medium if the medium is large.
No, no, yeah, you're taking...
No, the large is ion.
Look up dictionary. I know, but look up the dictionary. Medium can have different meanings. He's taking medium as middle size, but we're talking about medium as
literal.
A technological environment.
Yeah, yeah.
As
you
opposed
and
to
it's
a
large.
Media ecology.
That's right, media ecology. It's so large that people can't see the environment. They see other tribes that they're fighting against.
You didn't think we were going to get you back to the Thompson Quadrant so soon, did you?
No, no, I didn't think that at all. bring that. Let's just deal with the issue here. It's important. McLuhan's whole objection to everybody running around organizing themselves, they didn't know that the new medium was the enemy. They thought that their old identity was being eroded by other groups.
Right.
It wasn't. It was the EOM, which is an intoxicated. Everybody got stoned, got intoxicated on the new medium, and didn't recognize its disservices. You know, he used to explain divorce.
So the group made groupies.
Right. And why did divorce become rampant in the 60s? Because nuclear family chemical.
Randy was sleeping with everybody.
Who was sleeping?
Because Randy was sleeping with everybody.
Yeah, Randy. Randy, look at my diaries. Randy has a role in my diaries. But here's the other way to get Zion. Uh-oh, somebody's on speaker. Hey, blip your speaker thing or something. So we got people flooding in here. Let's see, who can we mute? Try this one. We'll mute Randy for a minute. Randy went on speakerphone. See, there's no echo when I muted Randy. You're the guilty one, Randy. But look at this. McLuhan explained the rampant spread of divorce in America was they all were becoming discarnate. So the chemical body for the nuclear family became menacing. They had the generation gap. They had the sex gap. The gender gap. All these gaps were because the old physical environment looked menacing. And that was the hidden cause. But people thought it was their fellow chemical body that was the problem. They thought it was their spouse that caused this anxiety. But no, it was
the oligarch got erectile dysfunction by drinking their own liquor.
Yes, that's sort of accurate. The oligarch, I mean, that's why they went after Kennedy. His image was too large compared to what the Big Brother thought. It should be.
Well, that was because of the Bouviers, but okay.
Yeah, the Bouviers are a big factor here. There's something new that we learned from Ion about the Bouviers, yes. But Ion, what? The oligarch, is that the oligarchy? Or is it the mass
maybe, mind? Maybe. Describe how your chart applies it.
But my chart does apply. We have a mixture of the top down and the bottom up. So you've got oligarchy is bureaucratic control by the secret intelligence agencies, but then there's the bottom up chaos caused by new media. You put the two together, and the audience goes from one side to the other, back and forth, quadriphenically.
Well, so
the oligarch would be.
So
no, I just want to finish your point here. I'm agreeing with you. The oligarch is a better term than oligarchy. I agree with your term.
Helter-skelter, yes.
Yes, helter-skelter, exactly. Oligarch is the top-down and bottom-up merged and rear-view mirroring it, while the wonderful world of being merged with everybody is being ignored.
What is it when you rear-view mirror it bareback?
Bareback, did he say, Carol? Karen frowns, Ion. you know, no mood for that.
We couldn't resist. Oh, the lights are still on. Well, we'll take care of that in just a second. No worries.
Yeah, so we were just saying what? That oligarch is bareback. Bareback.
No, rear view mirror is the rear view mirroring bareback.
It's bareback. No, you're right, because that is the attempt to retrieve the chemical body and pure nature. The physical, what people thought was physical.
So the rear end.
That is the Thompson Quadrant.
The naked rear end.
Yes.
Yeah.
And McLuhan said Finney's Wake was the rear end view, but he punted as including RIR. He didn't know
what tossing the salad was either. So what you gonna do?
Well, Zappa did. He had an album called Salad Days, Soup and Salad Days. That was before the Mothers Reform. Yeah, Frank was complimentary to McLuhan.
So Ion, with Joyce, his supporters and critics are convinced that his inspiration is from his chemical body, but was he being open to non-physical or the moreness that ascending people seem to gravitate to? Is that what his oeuvre entailed and
his
created?
Muse. Was that his muse? Right, Cal?
Yeah. That's the same thing Thomas Pynchon borrows. The same muse Thomas Pynchon borrows. And the way it flows, that's how he was borrowing. He couldn't feel anything. He was anesthetized to everything. But,
that's good.
Is he saying Pynchon or Joyce borrowed?
Joyce did it, and Pynchon is a holiepathic replay.
Yes.
Pynchon
is
a Thompson quadrant in my chart.
Yeah. And Tom is Pynchon is in Thompson quadrant.
And also Tom Elliott, because Elliott's in the Thompson quadrant. What do you think of that, Brian? Are you catching some of this, Brian? For your countercultural literary side?
So is Elliot Ness.
Yes, the untouchables. They do not want to be touched by the tactile extension. Extension of tactility.
And that's where the Holy Communion and the Holy Communion comes in, by intinction.
Intinction, yes.
Tincture
of the homeopathy.
So Pynchon was a homeopathic retrieval of James Joyce.
Of that indifference and being encyclopedic.
You just got through saying that the sun hadn't gone down yet, and then you go talking about bedroom habits right there. So how can you keep us sane when you drag us all the way back to there?
right.
Mm-hmm. We do it all the time.
No, that's very, very good statement, Ion. Tim Leary thought that Pynchon's writings, Gravity's Rainbow, was a replay of Finnegan's Wake. You know, not as extreme and perfect as Finney's Wake, but the Don Thiel in his book, Books on James Joyce, Ion, says that James Joyce influenced most everything from science to rock and roll. Do you agree with that? And this is, I hope you understand what I'm saying. If he did,
he did it by affluence.
Affluence. Yeah, his own affluent by the wealth of his image, people liking it.
Or the affluent people who seem to...
Affluence brought in that identity crisis. Affluence is
paid his own ticket, yes.
Oh, that's right. Harriet Weaver and those people did kept him alive.
And the Bloomsbury group probably did not like Joyce because they couldn't control him. He was uncontrollable.
Well, he was indifferent, what Ion just said, insensitive. What was the phrase? In something, not responding. What did you say Ion Joyce was? Insensitive? Indifferent?
Anesthetized. He didn't feel anything.
Right. And you see that in the biography Carol's reading. He was responding to the new numbness caused by the electric environment. And he actually got pretty close diagnosing it. He may not have fully understood it, but he knew that his indifference was a new condition, a new spiritual condition.
Yeah. Oh, good point, Bob.
Yeah.
Look at Bob soaring above
us all. Yeah, look at Bob soaring. When we get into the good stuff, Bob soars. That's my field.
We can put some Renew on that, Bob. It won't be as sore.
That's sore. You got a sore. Oh, my gosh.
Renew.
Your rear end sore.
How do I write this in the notes? Renew requested for Bob, right?
Is that on his sore.
Yeah. For Bob's genius.
For Bob's sore bum.
But see, then Joyce, he did have a lot of physical pain. He had this iritis. I actually diagnosed him with the condition he has because... I haven't seen it, but there's a condition called Reiters, R-E-I-T-E-R-S syndrome,
which is
iritis, urethritis, and arthritis. And all through the biography, they talk about, you know, he was struck down with iritis and struck down with arthritis. And over time, they talked about him, he probably had the gonorrhea or some people say into syphilis, but some sort of sexually transmitted stuff going on. But that could have just been his urethritis. So anyway, writers... syndrome, this is a definition of type of reactive arthritis happening in reaction to a bacterial infection in the intestines, genitals, or urinary tract. And all the time he would talk about his guts being ripped out, and they said it was because of his drinking, but he had a lot of gut problems too. And the guy, at one point, he was so poor when he was young, he was only eating every second day. And then if he got any money, he'd just drink to try to anesthetize his pain. So anyway, he had a lot of physical pain, Bob. So you're saying he was numb to, or he was expressing the numbness of the time. He was trying to numb his physical pain as well as
he was creating pain so he could feel.
Yes. Okay. I can.
Because he was numb.
When he became a second day Adventist.
Yes.
A second day.
Okay. So this is important, Brian. Carol has cracked the code on what actually was ailing James Joyce, and she's come up with this particular name.
Not to mention his elevated uric acid.
Right, and I mean, Carol has more knowledge to work with than the doctors in Joyce Day, but Ion, is Carol on the right track with this writer's syndrome? What's it called?
Writers, and here he is a writer. I mean, it's spelled R-E-I-T-E-R-S. Yes, Ion?
It's a very Joycean affliction.
Yeah, exactly, Brian.
So is Carol on the right track there? Oh, of course, Ian's going to say yes.
The Thompson's quadrant is railing.
they're outraged that Carol figured it out?
Do.
That's pinching.
Why would they be outraged?
Because they didn't get there first. You know, they retrieve visual space, Carol. They're trying to be... spiritual gurus in culture. They're trying to be to get the grant money. They're very competitive.
All that in a bag of chips.
Yes. They're actually tribal people becoming visual. Baruch is the opposite. He's visual trying to be tribal. And both of them are organizing the routinization of charisma. And they're trying to get the Thompson Quadrant are trying to get what Brian was talking about, the group organized around them so they can get funded. That's what the New Age is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bruce Cannon's trying to get routinized their charisma.
And then on its obsolescence, the tribal would turn stripe.
And we're
what did you say? The Bible would turn stripe?
Tribal would turn trite.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah.
And we're into what, the electrification of slack?
We're the we're the electron ionization of slack.
Electron.
Do you know, Brian, when we ask, if you ask, Brian, if someone asks you, what does the RNA drops do, say, or Coldplay, electron ionization of slack. That's our marketing statement about what we provide.
Electron ionization.
Yeah, not electronic. Or electron,
yeah.
It's electron ionization of slack. Ion came up with electron ionization, then he said, we got to come up with another word, and Carolyn came up with slack, and Ion agreed with it. So the church subgenius, they may be a living memory at some point because of this.
Right. Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, slack was a very well-chosen word, and it is an important thing. I mean, there is some kind of real thing that's important that they're referring to with that. I remember there was a funny illustration of exactly their sort of stubborn refusal to try to think or get anything. At one point on alt.slack, I was talking about, I posed a question. I think someone had already brought up money. People were talking about money and the, I don't know, mysterious nature of money or something. And I asked alt.slack, I was asking him, what does money extend? And the reason I was asking then is because the answer I had in mind was black.
Yeah.
What money extends, like having some excess in reserve or something, that having money means having slack, or it kind of, it doesn't exactly equal it, but it extends it in a way. And it's funny, the response I got was very, like, you know, that the mere fact that I would pose such a stupid-sounding, arcane, theoretic, blah-blah question is just such a proof that I don't understand any of what the kind of bullshit you're talking about. I'm like, yeah, the answer is slack. I mean, that's okay, like, I'm talking about what you're talking about.
Yes, and they did not want to articulate their biases. They did not want to have themselves analyzed. Okay, that's what I did. I came in as literary critic, and I was Clement Greenberg analyzing their art form. That's what they objected to.
Right, yeah, and they their kind of cartoon version of their objection to you is this idea that, like, that it's a sin against humor to explain the joke.
Right. And also, they thought they were so anarchistic that they could not be categorized. They did not know the later level of categorization that McLuhan invented.
Mm-hmm. Or just that they were Manipian satire.
Right.
You know, there is a word for what you were doing. Like,
yes.
Not so original that it defies all artistic categorization or anything.
That's right. And I maintain that the way to be a satirist, since the population was becoming more and more Manipian, the way to do Manipian satire in relation to that was to do what I did, as come on and make outrageous claims of being in charge of everything and actually be able to explain and heal everything.
I did it.
What?
I done it.
Yes, I done it. That's the ultimate Manipian gesture.
Yeah.
They wanted to say Bob did it. You know, Bob did it. But then Bob showed up and said, no, I did it. I'm Bob.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was the basic. They certainly weren't wrong in that, in perceiving that what you were doing was a very fundamental kind of thwarting or attack. That what you were doing didn't jibe or didn't play along with what they're doing the whole way, because their whole content machine is based on this attributing it to Bob and referring to that we've set up an authority figure that can't fail us because he's not a real person with the human foibles, and the things get attributed to him, and there's enough slack that stuff can get attributed to him, and it doesn't matter. It's not going to be held against him later.
Right. Listen, Brian, let me say this before I forget it. So they understood, intuited, that nobody was guilty anymore. So the antivirus of that was to claim, oh, there's one guy who can take all the blame. So that they're satirizing the fact that everybody did it, so they're going to say, no, Bob did it. So then I created a problem when I showed up to say I did it.
Yeah.
Only the Android meme was supposed to say that. The bobhead being the Android meme image.
Right. Yeah.
Now Roxanne has been dealing with that this week. She's been studying how I claim and mime the Android meme, right, Roxanne? Isn't that the content of the new video? Isn't that one of the ideas?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. She's been wrestling with that
thing. The feeling of being possessed by something bigger that you cannot explain this electronic environment.
Right, and then Bob claims
this
to do
walking,
it.
Yeah.
Walk-in, yeah, the walk-in. This walk-in that it possessed everybody. Yes, and Bob said, no, I'm the guy that walked in. Now, that is the perfect theatrical response to everything. You have to give it to me, man. I figure out how to do something there. I didn't know it would lead to Ion.
I find interesting that people always try to find guilt, and now it's like the microchip, the mark of the beast. And I was very surprised to learn that the mark of the beast are actually the degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who? That's the alphabet. Who, what, when, where, why? Visual space. None of that can be determined now. Or McLuhan saw that. under light conditions, you couldn't use the 6 degrees of separation, but every tribe tried to retrieve the six degrees of separation.
Being overflowed with this too much information and this losing your identity because of the electric environment,
yeah,
people is into asking why, who am I,
right,
trying to make sense, to understand, and all this, you know, in this cycle of separation, that's actually the real mark of the beast that is possessing them.
That's right. The whole spiritual quest of trying to find out who you are, that's in Aldous Huxley's book, Island, 1962 or so. And then Cosmic Awareness said the big question is who you are. And McLuhan knew that was the question, but it was a rearview mirror question. So
yeah,
most people are trying to figure out who they are.
What Roxanne's referring to is in the Revelation series. There's a good discussion about the degrees of separation, and they relate to the mark of the beast. So this is another reason why people should listen to the Revelation. And what it means to me is that when people go around questioning, it means they know nothing. They're pretending they don't know anything.
Yeah.
They're supposed to know it all, and they shouldn't be asking questions because they're supposed to know it all.
No, a better way to say it. They experience all in the discontinuitified merger. You are experiencing everything, but you can't conceptualize it. But the beast part of your mind tries to conceptualize it, put into where am I, when am I, who am I, and what am I. And corporations accepted that identity crisis. They teach courses on it. That's the popularization of Werner Werhard and Est. You know, they knew that they keep the people occupied with this new, very self-conscious, aware population that was very concerned about quality over quantity, about quality of life, and who am I?
And you can pay us so we can tell you who you are.
Right. Now, the Church of Genius satirized that,
mm-hmm.
but I satirize it knowing the causes.
Yeah. But then we didn't know that the mark of the beast was 6 degrees of separation until we heard Ion.
Me and Nelson knew it. I didn't.
Well, look what happened to Nelson.
Well, he didn't make it, but one of us did. Me. Here's the point. We interpreted a lot of the Bible because he was always doing. He was a member of the cult of the Worldwide Church of God. So he was bringing up Bible stuff all the time. And he would allow McLuhanism to fill it in. And he said that Jesus standing there holding up a sign. And the sign says visual space. And that meant a huge disservice visual space was, which is the visual space identities, the six. If Jesus is warning against the beast, he called it visual space. This is what me and Nelson invented. It turned out that Ion agreed with us.
Mm-hmm.
That was unforeseen, Brian. Mm-hmm. We did not know. Now, somebody could say, well, Bob invented Ion, and Ion's just miming Bob knowledge. Mm-hmm. And this quote I'm playing later, he kind of says, we are taking a McLuhan-esque approach. He says that in chapter the first hour, the first programming, first content.
Right.
If I was a Marxist or Ion came to a Marxist, would he say, we're taking a Marxist approach?
Uh-huh.
What do you say to that, Ion? Would you... Were you forced to take a McLuhan approach because you were dealing with me?
It could be
probably a little proselyting going on, but maybe not so much Marxist, but certainly an indemnified just reprieve.
What?
I didn't get
indemnified is just to breathe.
I thought you had a new phone.
Indemnified socialist. Reprieve.
Okay, you're going on about Marx. We're talking about, did you adopt the McLuhan world because of me?
No.
Yes or no? No.
McLuhan was correct, regardless of me knowing it. That's what you mean there, right?
Annie Hall was correct.
Yes, his fallacy. No, that's great. His fallacy was the most appropriate fallacy.
Well, remember in Revelations, another...
See, that side thing, that's what Brian just quoted Burroughs saying, speech is evil, or whatever it was you said, Brian. That's Burroughs acknowledging my fallacy is wrong. Oh, every speech is a lie.
Yeah, to speak is to lie, to live is to collaborate.
Yeah, you see, that's why McLuhan had to review Burroughs. Burroughs was expressing the syndrome. He had it exactly correctly. Then McLuhan said, well, don't be embedded in your time. Recognize the causes. Burroughs didn't recognize the causes. He was always searching for some new cult to be part of or to explore.
Yeah. So it's like saying that boogers are bad, but yet you still pick them out of your nose.